Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you. Amen. Hey, let our worship team know how much you appreciate them, would you? They did a great job this morning. I think you hit it out of the park today, and I sure do appreciate that. Welcome to Open Bible, and we're sure glad you're here today. For us, it is, as you notice the slide, I Love My Church Sunday. And now, I think I'm on point with this, but if I'm wrong, don't correct me right now, please. I think we're celebrating 77 years as a local church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And you know, with that comes 77 years of influence. And God has blessed Open Bible through the years in some significant ways. And He's still blessing Open Bible today. And we're so thankful to be a part. I love the church. I love this church. I love the church. I'm a product of the local church, and I thank God for the churches that God's used in my life. And I know you thank God for your church, and you should. And you should be in the best sense proud to be a member of a local church, right? And one where the Word of God is preached. Yeah, go ahead and get happy. It's okay to get happy. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right? You get happy if one of our sports teams win. If one of our sports teams win. And get happy. So it's good to get happy in the Lord. But God has used our church, and I think He's used Open Bible to make a difference in our world, not just in our community, but in our world, because we support missionaries all over the globe, and they're making a difference where they are. And so when they make a difference, we make a difference because we're connected with them. We're partners with them, right? And so, praise the Lord. We're sure glad you're here for I Love My Church Sunday. Before I jump into this, let me just say it's sure good to see Sydney Stewart. Sydney, we've been praying a lot for you, and you're looking great. Donna, you've done a great job nursing him back to health. So good to have you back, brother. Yes, indeed. And I want you to be in prayer for Dave Costin. Dave has been in the hospital all week. I visited with him yesterday, and I think he's over the hump. Hopefully get home sometime this week. But be in prayer for Dave, a longtime member here at Open Bible, and we miss him and we love him. And I said to him yesterday, I said, Dave, the church will not be the same without you tomorrow. And he said, I know. I know. And it's true. It's true. And so praise the Lord. I Love My Church Sunday. You know, down through the years, many folk have called Open Bible, they've called it My Church. My Church. Did you ever hear yourself using those words, My Church? Now, are you guys with me today, or do I have to use the remote? There you go, My Church. And so we'll say that, for example. Sometimes we might say, like a day like today, we're having special activity on the grounds, and so we might go ahead and say, hey, well, I want you to come and visit my church. Did you ever, and you're happy about that. Isn't it good to feel good about inviting people to your church? Wouldn't it be sad if you went to a church where you say, good grief, I never want to invite people to come here? That wouldn't be good, right? And so we get, you know, sometimes we'll say this, hey, I want you to visit my church. We're having a special day, outdoorsman day, or, you know, a ladies function or whatever. My church. So let me ask you this. When you use those words, my church, what are you referring to? Think about that for a second. I think we'd agree we're speaking about the church that we attend and possibly hold membership in. By the way, if you're a regular attender, let me encourage you to consider becoming a member. Because with membership comes all the perks. All the members were supposed to say, yay, yay. I think we're speaking about the community of believers that we participate with and the place where we serve God. You know, we use our spiritual gifts. Are you familiar with the fact that God did not give you a spiritual gift to use at work, although you may? or at home, although you may. God gave you a spiritual gift to use in church. You're part of his body, and every part is important. Every part matters. And if the church is not healthy, it's not healthy because certain parts aren't working, just like your body, right? And so, you know, when you say my church, I'm referring to the place where I attend or have membership in, the community in which I serve in. And then I think this, I think maybe we're referring to the church, the community that we contribute to. We contribute through our tithes and offerings, and that's how we keep things going, you know, in a local church, through the good giving of its membership. By the way, we get no outside funding from anywhere.
Amen.
We're not a part of any denominational group that sends us monies. We're not state-funded or federal government-funded. We are funded by the giving, the exclusive giving of the members here at Open Bible Baptist Church.
Amen.
And so I think, you know, when we say, you know, refer to the church, my church, I think we're speaking about the church we attend, maybe have membership in, the church we serve in, the church we contribute to, and the church that has made and is making a major difference in my life. Right? I hope your church makes a difference in your life. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day. That's why we gather midweek, you know, because we want the influence of the church to influence us, me personally. I want to be influenced by the local church. Amen? My church. You know, Jesus used the words my church. Brother Will read just a little bit ago, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18. This is a great, great text of Scripture. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And in the text, he says, I love these words. Jesus says to his disciples, and can I just paraphrase it? Jesus says in Matthew 16, 13, he says, so fellas, what's the word on the street? You know, that's what he says. You read it for yourself. What's the word on the street? He said, what are people saying about me out in the community? And they respond. They say, well, some are saying that you remind them of, and they begin to list, you know, Jeremiah, you know, Elijah, you know, one of the prophets, right? And so here's what Jesus has said. He says to them, he says this. He says, so what is the community saying? Do they understand the mission that we're on? Do they understand the message that we're preaching? And they came back and they said, well, Lord, this is what we're hearing. You're like John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, you remember the story? Jesus said this. He said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I guarantee you this. Jesus is very concerned that you and I, we are making his message clear, his mission clear out in the community so that people are not confused. And I know this. I've been around long enough to know the church can really convolute the message. The church can really confuse the purpose of the church and of the mission of Christ. And if we're not careful, we could maybe become an obstacle for people to get saved. We need to make it clear. Our testimony needs to be clean. Think about that for a second. You and I, we as a church, need to have a clean testimony. I remember back, oh man, a long time ago, a church called me, wanted me to consider pastoring the church, and I had no interest, and they called me back, and I finally sat down with a group of the deacons, the leadership. It was back in 92 or so. And I said to these guys, I said, okay, let me ask you a few questions about your church. Here's the first question. Why did your previous pastor leave, and does the church have a good name in the community? And they got real quiet. And there was a pause. There was a hesitation. And the chairman of the pulpit committee said, well, Pastor, we have to tell you this. Our previous pastor fell into sin, and it's known throughout the community. And I talked to them for about another 5 minutes, and I said, fellas, I'm not your guy. Why? Because I don't want to pastor a church that's got a bad name in the community. Jesus said, what's the word on the street? What do people think about me out there? And it was positive. Man, you're being identified with one of the prophets, John the Baptist, Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? And that's what mattered most to Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that he is? How do you declare his message? How many groans and moans, complaints come out of your mouth versus the praises and the hallelujahs? And then I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I'm a member of God's church. God's been so good to me. I was praising God just this morning for how good He's been to my family, our family. Just this morning, as I speak right here, one of my son-in-laws is being voted on to become a senior pastor of a local church. That's wonderful. We're humbled by that. God's been so good. Our family has 14 preachers in it. Unbelievable. Pastoring churches, teaching in Christian schools, serving in different full-time capacities. God's been so good. And I would not want to do anything to mar that testimony. But then the Lord says, in that same discussion, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Who do you say that I am? "Thou art the Christ, the anointed." And then Jesus said in verse 18, go ahead, fellas, flip it. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." My church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And I think this, and I think you'd agree, it's His desire that His church be strong and alive and vibrant. Hello? Look here. We didn't invite you to a funeral service this morning. No, when the praise team, the song, the worship team got up, man, I tell you what, I don't know if you sensed it or not, but they had a little bit of happiness in there. They had a little bit of giddy up in there. Huh? And I don't know how you can sing. What was that first song we sang? Who, what? "There's joy in the house of the Lord." Did you ever try to sing that? "There's joy in the house of the Lord today. There's joy in the house of the Lord." Huh? No, I mean to tell you, you got to be able to learn how to rejoice and enjoy the Lord. I don't know what we're going to do when we get to heaven. I guess they have a room for those that are just... You know what I'm saying? Huh? I don't know if we'd have made it in the Old Testament when David began to praise God. I don't think we'd have made it. We certainly had criticisms. We said, "Oh, look at him over there dancing. How dare he with the cymbal?" What? Yeah. So I think the Lord desires the church to be strong and alive and vibrant. Jerry, read. Well, here's what Paul said to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 13, he said this. He said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." I like that. He was writing that to a church that was a mess, the church in Corinth. And so there are Christians, and then there are strong Christians. And then there are churches, and then there are great churches. Do you ever go to a church and leave and say, "Man, that's a great church"? You know, Don and I have been on vacation sometimes, and because we've been pastoring for a long time, most of the time we're at home on Sunday in our home church. But when we get a chance to get away, sometimes we'll leave and I'll say to her, "That was a great church." Well, what is it? What makes up a great? How do you measure a great church? What makes some churches great and other churches just okay? Out of the list of things, I can give you a list of things, I think this. Great churches are made up of great church members. Amen. Yeah, great church members. You know what makes Open Bible a great church? We preach the Word of God. We sing songs that are biblically correct. By the way, the Bible says that our singing, our congregational singing, ought to be edifying, glorifying and edifying. It ought to glorify the Lord and ought to edify one another. Amen. But I think what makes this church a great church down through the years is the members. We have great church members. Now, here's a message for a couple of weeks down the road. What is a great church member? Huh? How would you define a great church member? Well, I have a list of items that I'll share with you, but I can't share it with you today. So you promise to come back in a couple of weeks? All right. I'll share it with you then. I will tell you this. A great church is not defined by the size of its buildings or the size of its congregation. It's not defined by the size of its budget or the size of its church staff. A great church is made up of foundational components, and one being great church members. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, Brother Will read this a little bit ago, Paul gives us, I think Paul gives us an insider's view of some of the components of a great church? You know, what makes up a great church? Great church members. You know, there's only two kind of people in the world, and this can go in all kinds of directions. But I think this, I think there's those people who wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord." And then there's people who wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Right? Huh? And we know both. Sometimes we are both, right? Sometimes we have a split personality, you know? That's just the way it is. But Paul here gives us, I think this, he lifts the scale and shares with us the components of a great church. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at what Paul says in verse 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, if it takes me some time, I want you to know how you should, how you ought." I like the word ought. You ought to know how to behave yourself. And look how he defines this. How to behave myself in the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God. The church of the living God, which is what? The pillar and ground of the truth. Paul, in that one Bible verse, reveals several components, three components. I'm going to mention just three components. Foundational truths that make up what I would call a great church. I want you to notice with me this morning, and we won't take real long to get through this. Look at the phrase, "the house of God." "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave yourself," how you ought to behave yourself, in what? The house of God. I think this. I think if you're taking notes, I think all great churches have the presence of God upon them. Amen. Yeah, the presence of God upon them. That's something that some great churches have. They have the presence of God upon them. Paul says this about the church. He calls it the house of God. Isn't that interesting? I like that. Look here. That sets the church apart from all other places. Right? It's different. Library? Mm-mm. State house? Mm-mm. Church? Oh, yeah. That's God's house. How many times have we referred to church as God's house? Why do we do that? Well, because the Bible calls it that. And you know what happens? You know what? You know something interesting about houses? People live in houses. Huh? And the Bible says that God dwells in the church. That's where God dwells, the church. I like what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, listen to these words. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Huh? That's Bible. You often hear it said, I often say it like this, the church is not brick and mortar. Church is not a building. These buildings, when we leave today, these buildings are here. They're empty. This is not the church. These buildings are where the church meets. And when we gather together, we are the church. Church isn't brick and mortar. Church is people. It's a born-again community. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so we need to be aware of this, that when the church meets, when we meet, God is present. God's here today. God's here right now. And I'm so glad, aren't you? God's presence is with us. And I think this, he's more than just present. Did you ever read Revelation chapter number 2? He begins to talk about these letters that Jesus drafts and sends to the local churches. And in chapter 2, verse 1, the first letter, he talks about walking in the midst of the church. See, he's not only present. Listen. He's active. He's active in the church. Aren't you glad the Lord is active? And if you go to a church that's a great church, that is a living church, you'll find the Lord is active in the worship. Huh? Yeah, when you and I, when we're you know, worshiping the Lord. By the way, worship doesn't stop when the song service ends. We're worshiping right now. Now we're worshiping in word. Are you with me? And that means this. That means I'm looking for the Lord here. I want God to speak to me here. I want him to uplift me here. I want him to take over my life here. Do something in me now, Lord. Make it real and residual. I want it to be long-lasting. I don't want it to end when I walk out the back door. The Lord is in the midst. He's walking in the midst. And if you just take the time and open your spiritual eyes, you'll sense His presence in the worship. You'll sense His presence in the outreach and in the fellowship and in the preaching of His Word and everything we do as a church. We want His presence to be upon us. Because the alternative, Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20. I did have these verses for you on the screen, but when I sent it up to the sound room today, we got a little glitch in the whatnot, and so they didn't get transferred. But Revelation 3, verse number 20. Yeah, you know that verse? How many know that verse? Behold, Jesus speaking. Here's what He says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He goes on and says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, you know what He says? He says, I'll come into him and sup with him. Now, you know what we do? We take that Bible verse and we use that in our witnessing. You know, we should. I've used that many times in witnessing the gospel to someone. I'll say, hey, listen, Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. And all you need to do is open your door. And what'll happen? Jesus will come in. Nothing wrong with that. I don't think we're taking that out of context. I think it can be applied that way. But that's not really what it means. Because in Revelation chapter number 3, Jesus is speaking to a church. And Jesus is saying, listen, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where's Jesus? He's standing on the outside of the church. He is knocking. And here's what He says. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And I think what he's doing there is this. He's sharing, I think that is the church of the Laodiceans. And what he's sharing there is this, how the church has become so apathetic. How the church has become so indifferent. How the church has become so complacent. How the church has become so carefree. Non-committed. Abnormal. He's saying, you got me on the outside. I'm knocking at the door. If you just open it up, I'll come in. And some churches just say, not interested. Just not interested. I'll tell you this, all great churches have at least one thing in common. They have the presence of God upon them. Paul talks about this. He said, you need to know how to behave yourself, how you ought to behave yourself in the church of God. It's God's house. It's where God dwells. When we come to church on a Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we gather together, we ought to expect, don't you think we ought to have expectation of meeting with God? Amen. Meeting with God. That's why we ought to prepare our minds and prepare our hearts. Oh God, please do something in my life today that is rich and real and long-lasting, that has residual effect upon it. And I want you to notice another thing. I like this. He says, how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of what? The living God. The living God. And I want to believe this. All great churches have the presence of God upon them and the power of God upon them. The power of God's upon them. A moment ago, we talked about the fact that the church is alive. And that word church speaks about a gathering of people. That's what it really means. When you look in the Bible, it's the word ekklesia, which means a gathering, a called out assembly. So God has gathered, Acts chapter number 2, He gathers people together who are born again. And He gathers them together on purpose with purpose. That's the church. So we're alive. Church speaks about a community where people gather. Speaks about the assembly of God's people. And then Acts chapter 1 verse 8 talks about the Holy Spirit of God giving us power. And so I like to say it this way, the church has power. Power. I think this, the church has power to shake up the sinner. Say amen right there. Yeah, the power of God. Look here, the power of God brings conviction. And can I say this about conviction? Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. Spiritual conviction is a good thing because it leads to good places. Huh? You get convicted of your sin. You get convicted of whatever you want to get convicted of. Your apathy, your indifference, your cold heart, your backslidden condition, your half-hearted. You get convicted of that. It could lead you to becoming an on-fire-for-God Christian. But are you aware of this? Are you aware of the fact that conviction precedes conversion? Are you aware of that? You know what that means? That means this. There's nobody that can get saved unless the Holy Spirit of God begins the process of drawing you. That's why every time we lead somebody to the Lord, we always kind of make sure we deal with this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous. No, not one. And we'll talk to somebody and we'll say this. Hey, before you can get saved, you need to first admit that you're what? You're lost. Just born a sinner. Blind. I'm lost. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work, He begins to convict. I'll never forget the day I got saved, November 1979. The person was talking to me and gave me the gospel once again. And they said, are you willing to get saved? And yes, I am. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Without a doubt. But I, listen, prior to that day, that person witnessed to me tons of times. Many times that person shared the gospel and then said to me, are you ready to get saved? And I said, nah, I'm not ready. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit of God was working that day and produced conviction that led to conversion. And this old boy got saved. Yeah. So conviction's a good thing. The church has the power of God to shake up a sinner. Romans chapter 12, I love Romans 12, verse number 9. It says this, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In other words, you can't cleave to that which is good until you abhor that which is evil. You got to let go of one before you can grab hold of the other. Does that make sense? Church has the great churches have the presence of God and the power of God upon them. And that power can convict a sinner. Look here, you come to a service like this here, you ought to have a little conviction. Spirit of God ought to be saying to you, you ought to read more, you ought to pray more, you ought to attend more, you ought to get involved, you ought to give, you ought to. And you ought to say, you're right. Help me. This is not religion. This is real life. This is Christianity at the core. But look here. It'll not only convict a sinner, it'll stir up a saint. The power of God will convict a sinner and stir up a saint. Did you ever go to church and get stirred up? Ooh, I like getting stirred up, don't you? Huh? I love getting stirred up. And so you know what happens? You go to church and all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to work. The power of God begins to work. And you start getting stirred up. And that stirring, now pay attention right here. That stirring will help you to have a closer, it'll encourage growth so that you can have a closer walk with God. I read this one time. I'm not sure if you ever heard of a fellow preacher yesteryear, Vance Havner. Preacher, I know you've heard of Vance Havner. Vance Havner wrote this, and I quote, listen to this. He said, the average Christian lives such a subnormal life that if they began to live a normal Christian life, the world would think them to be abnormal. I mean, just normal. But today I think we're more nominal than we are normal. And nominal means in name only. When you go to church and the Spirit of God is working and the power of God is present, there's a stirring, and that stirring will encourage you to grow in your relationship with God, your walk with God, but also to serve with freshness and passion. To serve with freshness and passion. You know, I don't live here. Sometimes I think my wife thinks I do, but I don't. I go home sometimes. And I love watching sports. I do. I'm a remote freak. I hate commercials. Join me. Fellowship with me now. Go ahead. Say amen. I hate commercials. I see absolutely positively no need for them, especially when I'm paying for the TV to come into my house anyway. And so every time a commercial comes on, I'm clicking. Huh? You wouldn't believe how strong this hand is. I'm telling you what. I'm a clicker. I'm all over the place with that thing. But can I be honest with you? For example, yesterday I watched a little bit of hockey game, watched a little bit of Phillies game, watched a little bit of college baseball. I was watching all these sports events. I flipped through Hallmark about 13 times getting to those sporting events. And my wife said, stop there. Okay. I try to go so fast she can't see it. You know? Because the only thing you ever see is a guy kissing a girl, and you know they're going to get married. The very first minute of the movie, you know they're getting married. They're ending up together. Huh? The dude Larry, all he's got, one plot. 3,500 different actors, one plot. Right? Am I online? Would you cut that part out, please? I'll be getting sued by Hallmark next week. But I brought that up to say this. Not one time yesterday in watching the Phillies, the hockey game, the baseball, nothing was I encouraged to live for God. Not one time did anything, not one commercial, Dave, came on and said, hey, why are you sitting there when you can be serving God? No. Not one. Not one commercial came on where it said, you ought to have a passion for the things of God, dude. No, not one. So you know where I got to get that from? Church. I got to get that when I come to church. I don't go to church to be entertained. I don't go to church to watch commercials. I go to church to get the Word of God because I need Him to work in my life and stir me up. That's why I come to church. Great churches. See, churches need the power of God upon them. And not, by the way, not just in the pulpit, but in the pew. Huh? You know what I found out? It's kind of like this. If I preach what God wants me to preach, and if you receive what God wants you to receive, then the stars line up. And something supernatural, something divine can take place. But if I'm preaching what God wants me to preach, and you're not receiving what God wants you to receive, oh, well, here's that emoji again. Go ahead, do it with me. So what? If there's no so that, so what? Right? Power of God. Now, can I give you one final thing and then we'll have lunch? If you don't say amen, I'm not going to stop. Amen. Can I give you one final thing while we have lunch? Look at this statement. Look at it again. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Just taking this one Bible verse together. Look at it again. But if I tarry long, I'm writing so that you may know how to behave yourself, how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, God's presence, which is the church of the living God, God's power, the pillar and ground of the truth. So, great churches have the presence of God upon them, the power of God within them, and they operate according to the principles of God. Amen. The principles of God. I like that, the pillar and ground of truth. Look here, you know this, we believe this, this is what we're built upon. This is what's been preached for 77 years at Open Bible Baptist Church. We preach this, the foundation of the church is truth. It's the Word of God. Amen. Every time we come, we open up our Bibles. Right? Pastor Yanizzi is up here, he's going to preach. He always brings his Bible. Always has it, and it's wide open. And we're not only reading from it, but sometimes we can't even get past one verse because it's so rich. Like this Bible verse right here. Huh? And so the foundation of a New Testament church is the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Amen? Amen? Perfect. It's truth. And here's the thing. Let me say two things about it. The Word of God is the message of the church. That's our message. If you go to work tomorrow, go to school tomorrow, be in your community, hey, what's the message of your church? The Word of God. Well, what is your theme? The Word of God. What? The Word of God. That's our message. That's it. Look at number. Victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 John 5:4. Word of God. That's our theme for the year. Be victorious in Christ. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. It's the Word of God. That's the message of the church. And we proclaim truth. Not by what? We proclaim truth not as we see it, but as the Word of God reveals it. Right? Because in our efforts to become more appealing, we've neglected the Word of God. And we've watered down the message. Huh? Now, I'm totally against being offensive as a preacher. But I'm also totally against avoiding truth and not preaching it because it may not be appealing. It's not going to help anybody. I don't want to go out of my way to offend you or hurt you or use this pulpit as a whipping post, but I got to declare the truth because if I water it down, nothing good's going to take place. Our message is God's word. Amen? And I think this, I think the church needs to be a moral voice in the community. I was driving down Black Horse Pike yesterday, got to a certain intersection, and there was a group of people, I don't know, maybe 20 people. You see them yesterday standing there with picket signs? You know, nobody was paying attention to them. You know, it was against our government. It was against our president. I don't even know what it was for. But I thought to myself, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. Honestly, it really is. They weren't accomplishing anything. They're waving to people. People just passing them by. Just passing by. Nobody stopped and said, I applaud you. That's great. I'm going to vote against. No. So it's a waste of time. And that's why we're not out there picketing. You know where we are? We're in here preaching. Why? Because the word of God is our message. That's the power of God. His word. And that makes all the difference. He talks about the church being the pillar and ground of truth. The messenger of the church. We need to be a moral voice in each community. The word of God's our message. And we need to declare it boldly. But then one final thing I want you to see here. That pillar and ground of truth. Ministry is the work of the church. Amen. So the word of God is the message of the church. Ministry is the work of the church. And you know what ministry is? Listen carefully and I'm done. Ministry occurs when needs are met. When needs are met. Every Sunday morning, the staff and I, we meet for prayer. Early Sunday morning. And as we go around and praying, we always think about this. I always pray this, Lord, people are coming today, and I have no idea what burdens they're carrying. I have no idea, you know, what they've been through this week. I have no idea what's going on in your life. In fact, when I pray for you each week, I always pray this, Lord, meet their interpersonal needs that I know not of. Amen. But He do. So I prayed this morning, right, Isaac? We were praying this morning. And I prayed, Lord, please, meet the needs of our people. I have no clue. You come in that back door, you put a smile on. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know how heavy of a load. But He does. And I pray this. I pray this. We pray for as a stand. Lord, help us to be sensitive. Because here's what happens. God meets needs through others. Right? So ministry occurs. Pay attention. I'm going to finish. Ministry occurs when divine resources meet human needs through open hearts. So, when you come here and you get a need that's met, it's because somebody was allowing God to work in and through them. That's the work of the church. Ministry is the work of the church. And that's something that we need to be a part of. And by the way, that's a combination of the pulpit and the pew. That doesn't just happen from the pulpit. It also happens in the pew. You know, because you're talking to somebody and that person says, well, you know what? Let me pray for you right now. Let's pray together. Or, you know what? I think I have the resources to meet that need. Or, you know, I can drive you to the doctor's this week. Don't worry about it. Oh, I can pick up your children. I can do. Huh? That's how ministry takes place. That's what makes churches great. I love it when I go and visit somebody and they say, hey, so-and-so was just here. Wonderful. Hey, so-and-so made me a weird meal this week. That's great. Hey, so-and-so stopped by. Hey, look at this card so-and-so said. Boy, that blesses my heart because I realize this is a church in reality. We are a community. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday. No, not at all. The church is more than a building to meet in. It's the body of Christ. It's the house of God. It's the pillar and ground of truth. Church speaks of God's presence, God's power, and His principles. So let me ask you a question. Where will the church be on Monday morning? Can I tell you where? At work? At school? At the doctor's office? Where are you going tomorrow? Donald, where are you going tomorrow? Work? He said that like this. Work. Work. doctor's office? Don't, please don't. Preacher Riddell was just going to say casino. I know he was thinking of it. Where's church going to be tomorrow? Look here, you and I, we are the church and we carry its influence with us. Yeah, for sure. So let's determine to be a great church member. So let me ask you this in closing. Are you a member of his body? Are you? Pay attention right here. Are you a member of his body? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Can you say with conviction, when I die, I'm going to heaven? I don't deserve it. I know it. But I am. Conviction. I know it. Let me ask you this. Are you a church member? Are you a member of his church? And if you are, what kind of church member are you? And what kind of church would this be if every member were just like you? We ought to ask ourselves that. What would our giving be like if every member of Open Bible gave just like you? What would our attendance be if every member of Open Bible attended just like you? What would our outreach be if every member attended or outreached just like you? That's a valid question. Don't you agree? I know what you're saying. Pastor, I'm about to eat lunch and you're making me sick. But that's reality, isn't it? That's why we're here. We're here on purpose and we have a mission. And we need to make sure it's clear and clean so that these people outside these walls, they know. They know what we stand for. We are a community event, but we stand for something. Amen? My church. Say it. My church. Say it with me. I love my church. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. Thank you that we can gather here and celebrate 77 years. I know the church was born on the month of January, but we celebrate in June. Preacher Riddell became pastor in June. I became pastor in June of this church. And so we celebrate together today all that you've done and all that you're doing in and through Open Bible. We thank you for its membership. We thank you for those faithful attenders. We thank you for guests and visitors. Mostly, we thank you for the Word of God and for the ministry that occurs right here at Open Bible. Bless your people today. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. We're going to sing together in just a moment, but I want you to think about this. If you're here this morning and you've yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd like to take a moment and talk with you and share the gospel with you. And that way you can get it settled once and for all. And then you come to church as a man, as a worshiper, as a believer, right? You feel confident. And if you are saved, then I want you to consider today, you know, are you a member of the church? And what kind of member are you? And are you at your very best for the Lord Jesus? I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.